Last week, I told you that we'll be speaking on three topics over this Christmas. And last week, we looked at the topic of promise. And we saw Christmas in four words: promises made and promises kept. And today, we'll be looking at trial. The three topics I'll be looking at were promise, trial, and worship. And today we'll dive into a little bit on trial, and worship we'll have Christmas Eve and the day after Christmas, or the Sunday after Christmas. Last week we saw several tremendous promises made to Mary. She was going to have a son, even though she was still a virgin. Her son would be named Jesus, and he would be the Son of the Most High. He would be the Son of God, and he would be a king, and his kingdom would reign forever. Tremendous promises. I mean, these promises are great and exciting. We're told that Jesus is also called God with us, and Jesus came and dwelt among us. But he, as God with us, wasn't just with us during that time. He is with us all the time, even after he went back to heaven. And the life for Mary and Joseph and all of us who believe in Jesus as God with us will have easy and joyful lives without any struggles. The end. Well, everybody knows that's not true. Everybody knows that this life has struggles, whether you believe in Jesus or not. And if we look at Mary right after she's given these great promises by the angel, we see a trial right away. You see, after the angel gave Mary those promises, her response was, "Let it be as you say." She's saying, "Lord, I trust you. Let it happen. Let it be as you say." Meaning that's she's putting her trust and her faith in him. And isn't that how it is for us when we put our faith in Jesus? It's, "Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender my life. I surrender myself. I give my life to you, Jesus. I'll do whatever I need to do in being faithful." But neither Mary nor you and I are immune to the difficulties and struggles of life. Sometimes God uses trials to strengthen us. But for whatever reason, trials come and go in our lives. Differences. I mean, we're all different, so trials are different. And let's look at Mary. Right after she's told the good news that she'll have a child, she's given these promises. We see there's an immediate problem. The man she's soon to marry, Joseph, is ready to leave her. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Well, before I really get into this, on what I'm preaching on in the trial, there's a couple of things I wanted to point out in these verses. One, Joseph loved Mary. You may be wondering, how do I get that out of these verses? We see that in how he was still trying to protect her. Joseph was trying to protect Mary, even though he believed that she had been with another man. He desires to divorce her quietly and save her from disgrace. This is a trial for Joseph, by the way, as well. Joseph is faced with this trial. even after the promises were given to Mary. A second thing I want to point out is that the engagement was looked at as similar to marriage at this time, and that's why a divorce would have been needed for the engagement to be ended. But let's look at this from Mary's perspective. She has received a message from an angel. She is told that her son will be great. Well, you know the promises, I've already mentioned them. And then what happens? Mary's about to lose her soon-to-be husband. Now, we don't know exactly what Joseph told Mary. You know, did he tell her outright, I'm going to divorce you? We don't know what Joseph and Mary talked about. I'm making the assumption that he did tell her that he was going to end the engagement. So that's an assumption that I'm making. It's not in Scripture. And that's where I'm going with this. She was just given that great news of great joy, and wham, her life is met with an immediate struggle. We don't know Mary's feelings, so this is what I think. The trial at that moment is she's going to lose her husband. She is facing to have to raise a child alone. I wonder, did she ever say, God, I told you, let it be as you say, but losing Joseph was not a part of that. God, I didn't sign up for this. I wonder if she felt that or thought that. Because I know that when I am in the midst of a significant trial, those thoughts have come to mind. God, I am serving you. I am doing all that you've asked of me. But I did not sign up for this struggle. God, I didn't sign up for this. But you know something? I did sign up for it. You did too. We all did. You see, when we give our lives to the Lord, we give Him our all. We are saying, Lord, whatever happens in this life, I will remain faithful and trust you even when it's not easy. See, again, struggles happen whether we believe in Christ or not. But I'm going to get to more on that after a while. For Mary, this trial is life-shattering. But at the same time, it was also short-lived. It was a short-lived trial. And Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 25, let's read on. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You see, God's plan did include Joseph. And though this trial was short, it would have been heartbreaking if not for God's divine influence. Oh, but there's another trial looming. You see, Mary was pregnant before she was married. And most, if not all, people of that small town in Nazareth would have probably heard about it. It's funny, I was down at the store just down the road here. And they have a sign in the store. It says something like this, small town living. If you forget what you're doing, just ask someone. They'll tell you. You see, small town living, everyone knows everyone. Unfortunately, news travels at supersonic speeds. This is true. Some of that news is real news, and some of it's gossip. I remember the first time I went on a walk with my wife in the small town of Cleveland, Minnesota. I can't even walk with a girl in that town without people telling my parents, "Who was that girl Joey was walking with?" My mom was like, "Girl." Small town living. Problem is Mary would have been looked down upon. Her character and her reputation would have been tarnished. Some have wondered if that is not why Mary didn't leave Nazareth for several months to be with her relative Elizabeth. But this isn't all that new to believers in Christ either. For many people have undergone an attack on their character, undergone an attack on their reputation as followers of Christ. When they don't follow what the world thinks and believes, we see many people being torn down as a result of their faith. Another trial. John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." There are many difficulties in this life, and going against the flow of the world can lead to persecution and even being despised by others. Not so much because something was offensive in our actions, but because of the values and morals that we hold that are countercultural. You see, Mary did nothing to offend others, but by following God and receiving what He had for her, many would have looked down on her. And so far we've looked at the two trials of Joseph almost leaving Mary and the cultural look at her, the negative look at her. But let's look on in our Christmas story a little more, and I'll be moving on to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Why is it that when trials come, they often come in multiples? Why can't it be far and few between? I see a number of smiles indicating that's often the case. When you're down, you get hit with another and another. Why do they come in multiples? I can't give an answer for that. But I can tell you that here in these verses, Bethlehem wasn't just a few miles down the road for Joseph and Mary to go to. It was a long ways away. It took a very long time to get there, and even though there was good Roman roads at that time, it still would have been rough traveling, rough terrain. Mary would have either walked or rode a donkey, but either way, at 9 months pregnant, it was not pleasant traveling. Even at 8 months, if they left long in advance. And if the traveling wasn't rough enough, they had to find sleeping quarters in a less than optimal area and give birth. I can imagine it now, Mary going to sleep in the evening before Jesus is born, thinking about all that had transpired over the last several months, a husband almost leaving, A community gossiping and looking down on her. A long and grueling trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem, feeling every bump and enduring swollen ankles while walking. That's what I've included. And now, having to give birth next to some farm animals. And as she thinks about those words of the angel run through her mind over and over. Luke 1:28, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Luke 1:30, "You have found favor with God." For many of us, we would say, "God, it isn't fair. You call me favored, but I'm not feeling it. You say that you are with me, but I'm not feeling it. You gave me a tremendous promise, but I'm not seeing it." You see, life isn't always easy, and we may be doing exactly what we should, but it still may be a struggle. Yet as we look at Mary, I know that she was favored. We know that some of those things that she endured had to happen, like going to Bethlehem, because that fulfilled other prophecy. And God has plans, and though we don't always understand them, we must trust. We must hold on to the promise that God is with us. Jesus' name is God with us. I mentioned last week that He is with us in the good times and in the bad. In our times of joy and in our times of sorrow, He is there. When we are strong and when we are weak, He is there. Christ is with us. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him even when your heart is breaking from a broken relationship? Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him when lies are being spread about you? Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him when the journey seems too hard to keep going? Will you trust Him? You see, He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. But never does He say, "Life will be easy." He gives us promises to hold on to and to hope for. But there's never the promise that life will just be easy. One of my favorite psalms is the 23rd Psalm. And it points us to promises and trials. I'd like to read that with you. So if you want to turn with me to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." See, what does that say? It says that God is looking out for us. It says that He's providing for our needs. Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." You see, when life is difficult and we are weary, He gives us rest and peace in the moment that we're in need. He lifts us up when we have fallen into despair. As I continue on, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." That means that He helps us and guides us in the right direction. He is showing us the way. Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." Notice He doesn't say, "I keep you from the dark and difficult valleys." He doesn't say that. But what He does say is that when you get there, when you are in the midst of a trial, when you're in the midst of pain or loss, He will be there. Do you see that? He was there in your other times of need, and He is there with you in the darkest and hardest moments of your life. And He will bring you comfort. The comfort found is through His presence. Him being with us brings us comfort. He is with you, and will, and by being with you, that is comfort. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, those verses point us to a wonderful picture, that there will be a time when those who have wronged us, those who have hurt us, will answer for that. And in trusting and placing your faith in the Lord, you are blessed. The anointing with oil is a blessing. Mary was blessed because of Christ, and we are blessed because of Christ, and we look forward to dwelling with the Lord forever. These are promises made, and they are promises that will be kept even in the face of trials. Jesus' birth, the struggles of Mary, and Scripture helps us to be reminded that Christ came out of love for us. That love will not change. His love for you will not change. Though we may feel more loved when everything's going right, but He deeply loves you even when things are difficult. That's a beautiful thing to think about. That great love will continue on for an eternity.